Autoridad MMA.
Mr. Cormier and team, you're welcome to come to the table.
You know, I haven't worked this long. I need to go home and take a nap. Could we continue this?
You're welcome to go at any time.
I need a nap.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Well, as you saw, we'll start with Mr. Eccles, who will make the case on behalf of the state. Once he's made his case, we'll swear you in, and then we'll allow you to give your response. And as you can see, the commission will ask any questions that are necessary. Mr. Eccles?
Yes, commissioners, again, this relates to the same exact set of facts, the same video. I'm going to ask that be submitted in evidence and marked as State's Exhibit 1. The difference in this case is apparently that Mr. Cormier is denying that there is a violation under your statutes and regulations here. I'm going to submit it based upon the video. It takes two people to make a brawl happen. And I think when you watch the video, you're going to see his active participation in this, and that there is fault, there is culpability here. And again, there needs to be a deterrent message here. It doesn't happen unless he participates. If it was only one person, then I would only have a complaint drafted against one person here. But it's not. It's both people taking an active role, and that's why you have two complaints before you. So I would ask you to find a violation based upon the video. I would ask that it be admitted into evidence. I leave it to him to try and explain why he is not liable under your rules.
Thank you, Mr. Counsel, do you agree to the video that was shown earlier being admitted into evidence?
Do we need to show it again? I had the opportunity to watch it, yes.
Okay, thank you. The video is admitted.
Thank you.
Are you done with your...
That's my case,
okay.
Chief.
Should we swear on Mr. Cormier first, please?
Yes. Mr. Cormier, do you swear to tell the truth before this commission?
Yes.
Okay, and you realize pursuant to NRS 467.115 that the penalty for perjury is the same as it would be in any court of law?
Yes.
Thank you.
Counsel, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I think that from listening to the commission's questions to Mr. Jones, that the most useful use of this time this morning is not for me to reiterate the legal arguments that I've already shared with Mr. Eccles, in which, to the extent that they may impact the commission's decision, I can discuss later. I think that the most important thing to know is that Mr. Cormier understands that this was a very, very unfortunate, regrettable incident that everyone involved wished had not occurred. We also understand as a group that this commission is under increasing pressure from the media due to the non-event, sporting event related misconduct of professional athletes. We see it with the NFL. We've seen it here with an MMA fighter who subject to domestic violence. This is not a domestic violence situation. It is not a drunk driving situation. It is not a situation where there was a brawl between a professional fighter and some member of the public. It was a face-off that is designed to create interest in the fight and to raise emotions, to incite the fan base to want to view the fight. And as the commissioner had indicated before, the fact that Mr. White was not in attendance, as he usually is at these sorts of things, may have been a contributing cause. There were all sorts of contributing causes. And at this point, I think it's important for the commission to hear from Daniel as to exactly what happened and what his perceptions were, and to answer whatever questions you have.
So today, are you, in the complaint, you allege that this issue was of self-defense and allege no responsibility on Mr. Cormier's part? Are you continuing with that argument and that answer to the complaint?
Yes. Okay. That is our legal, when you have lawyers involved, it's our obligation to try to do the best we can to protect the client on all avenues. At the same time, we have to be problem solvers and understand the dynamics that not only the professional fighters are faced with, but also the commission, who is tasked with having to herd what can be cats involved in professional sports. So we are sympathetic to that. The legal arguments, I'm more than happy to make when we conclude what I think really the meat is, and that is Daniel's thought process, why he felt that he was being assaulted, and why he reacted the way he did, and also to answer your questions about why this sort of an event, from his viewpoint, is never going to happen again.
But your legal position is that it was self-defense?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Hansard, you are Mr. Hansard, is that right?
I am.
My apologies. I didn't get a chance to meet you before the hearing began. One of the things, though, I think that is important to understand is that the jurisdictional facts were laid out by Mr. Eccles in his complaint. Do you concede that this commission has jurisdiction over this event?
Yes, to a much less extent than was alleged in the complaint. There is a catch-all provision, as you know, in the statutory basis for the commission that allows the commission to address non-sanctioned event conduct that holds the sport in disrepute. And I think that the basis of the commission's jurisdiction is on that sort of a basis.
And you agree that the event, though, that was at issue falls, though, within the jurisdictional parameters that you just described?
Yes, it obviously does.
And therefore, you can see that this commission has jurisdiction over this complaint?
Over the part of it that I outlined, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Cormier, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay. First off, if I can go back a little bit, John and I have had history, not even when I was fighting in the same weight division that he was. I was fighting up at heavyweight, and from our first interaction, we had kind of issues. Then a couple years later, I made the decision to go down to 205 pounds and was at a different fight that, you know, we were just watching as spectators, and he walked up to me and asked me if I was going to do it because he wanted to fight me. So him and I have had history before, and I think in the moment, it was the first time that we come together, the first time that we had stood across each other as opponents. I always kind of point to guys like John Jones, Cain Velasquez, Anderson Silva. Those guys don't come around very often. Like they come, they fight, and they kind of go off on their own. Whereas guys like me, you know, I do TV stuff. I work, and we're in the public eye all the time. So when a guy like John comes around, the day of the event, if there were 1,000 people there, 700 were in front of him. And they're hooping, and they're hollering, and they're screaming. And then the guys right before us, they had a really intense face-off. They got right in each other's face. And I think the whole emotion of the situation kind of got to him, and he wanted to maybe replicate what those guys had done. And as he said earlier, you know, it's a game of inches, and no one wants to give an inch. So he kind of put his head forward onto me, which to me is that's aggressive. You know, I came to really take a picture. We could do that from a distance. We can do that from close. We don't have to touch each other. And when he did, that's when I pushed him away from me. I do take full responsibility for that, starting that pushing him, and it was a reaction to him actually putting his head on mine. Obviously, the whole altercation, it's viewed badly. You know, I've apologized a number of times to my family, to the UFC. I haven't been in front of you guys, so I'd like to apologize to the commission, the MGM Grand. But I've had to say sorry a lot of times, and I didn't lose a Nike deal. I didn't have one. But I had to go back to to the gym where I coach kids wrestling. And their parents tell me, Daniel, you have to be true to yourself. There is nothing you can do that reflects on our children in a negative way. So countless times I've had to apologize for my actions. I don't really understand the legal stuff that you guys are talking about. I know that I am responsible in part for what happened. I am not that silly to not think that I did not play a part in that incident. But afterwards, it just kind of escalated. And from the push to maybe expecting him to push me back, I think him throwing the punch, I think that was an indication of the years of the distaste and the dislike that he has for me and that I have for him. So that's why I think it may have went so far so fast. because of years of him and I just really not being able to really coexist. There's a lot of distance kept between us because we're just different people. I am sorry for my part of in the action. I am. But that would, when I'm saying that it was self-defense, I'm saying that it would not have happened if John and I would not have came into contact. And then once it happened, you know, it just kind of went far.
I mean, you quickly after that event, you made an appearance on Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And in that appearance, they asked you if you'd do it again.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what your response was to them?
I said I would. A lot of emotion still. And I don't really.
But that was when I saw that response. The response wasn't emotional. It was you were.
I really don't want to touch on like I. It's kind of like my whole like my life. I've had situations where I was kind of the smaller kid, and I was intimidated a lot. And so when I finally learned to actually defend myself, I kind of made it a point that I always would defend myself. And in that instance, I felt like I was defending myself. And so like from the kid that actually went home actually crying every day to a kid that actually learned to wrestle and could defend himself and went on to do the things that we've done so far, I felt like if that's the case, I've always got to kind of defend myself.
But your response in that situation was you understood that it helped the promotion and it helped sell tickets.
Well, I mean, but that's not... That I wasn't saying it in that sense. Like, I would do that to sell tickets. Obviously, there is promotion part of it, but that was real life. That wasn't for sales.
Okay. How long after that?
We did interviews all day, sir. Like, you
that,
saw
that
the Fox...
That interview was right after the...
That one was probably... You talking about the Fox Sports Live one?
Mm-hmm.
That was the evening. So there were some hours that passed, but... right afterwards, I don't know if you guys saw it, but John and I did an interview for ESPN, and they kind of had the camera still rolling afterwards, and we said some very crazy things to each other. And it just kept heightening, because even though we had gotten into that brawl, we continued to travel and do more and more and more of these interviews together. So even when we weren't in the same room, we were in each other's ear, and we were kind of talking and jawing back and forth.
Did you find it unusual for Mr. Jones to place his head against yours?
Yes, I. You know,
is that unusual? That's enough. Is that unusual in the world of MMA in weigh-ins?
Not always. Some guys do that. Yes.
But you responded
differently. Yes, because. I just, like, I can't help but feel in that instant that, as he said, you know, it's a game of inches. You don't want to give anything, especially when you have two guys, you know, that are undefeated. They don't know how to lose. They don't know how to, nobody wants to give an inch. I don't want him to intimidate me, as he said he had to respond, because he didn't want me intimidating or having an advantage over him.
What was the question that was posed to you by the Fox reporter on the live Fox appearance?
I think he might have said, I actually don't know if it was a question. I think I actually volunteered that information. I think I may have just said it. And I said, when John actually put his head on me, you know, I have to defend myself. I feel like I have to defend myself. When I feel like someone's trying to intimidate me or bully me, I feel like I have to. And I said, I have a kid, and if my kid was in the same situation, I would actually tell him to respond and defend himself too, because I don't want him to go through life as I did. It can form you and it can shape you into something that makes life very hard.
All right, I want you to, we've got a few cameras here. I don't know if Fox Sports is here or not, but I know that there are some cameras rolling here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked you the same question, or you had the opportunity to do it today.
Mm-hmm.
What's your response going to be?
You know, just through it all, through the whole thing, seeing the looks on the kids' faces, my son, I wouldn't. Like, I don't want that to be the lasting impression of me. I'm not John Jones. I haven't done the things that he's done in this sport. This could be my moment. This could be the moment that I'm in the limelight. He's carried me here. He's brought me here. And I don't want to, you know, if I win or lose this fight, or if I win and don't go on to have the career he had, I don't want the lasting impression to be of me guy that's fighting in the lobby of the MGM Grand. So I would maintain my distance, and I wouldn't do that again. Like, I don't want to fight. I'm there for a photo opportunity, and that's how I would approach it.
Okay, so let's say that you've got a face-off, and it's not John Jones. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else, and they put their forehead on yours. What are you going to do?
I mean, I have to be more responsible. I have to be more responsible leading into the face-off, and even when the face-off may happen. I cannot put my hands on an opponent.
I appreciate that response, Mr. Cormier.
Thank you.
Do you have an intent to fight for the UFC again?
Yeah, well, John and I are scheduled to fight January 3rd for the championship, so.
And do you have an intent to fight here within this jurisdiction?
We're fighting in Vegas, yes.
Okay. You indicate that you did not lose a Nike contract because you didn't have one to lose. Mm-hmm. Have there been other financial impacts, though, that this conduct has happened on you or what you perceive as the business then that you're operating in?
Well, I mean, when I have a youth wrestling program in San Jose, and after the event, you know, I lost some kids. I mean, it's not going to equate to anything as substantial, but some people don't want to really be associated with that type of behavior. And I think that to me is it's what I built. You know, it's the thing I can give back is my ability to wrestle and my ability to coach wrestling. So, I mean, in that sense, I guess I've lost some kids. I had, you know, 35 kids and then maybe lost like 10 of them or so. So, you know, it's not anything very substantial, but it's something.
But it was substantial to you.
It is, because it means something to me. I started my program 3 years ago with two children. It was just me and two kids that I taught to wrestle. And then we built it to 35, 40 kids. So, yeah, it meant something to me.
So, in other words, what you're suggesting is that the loss that you had already, relative to you, it's substantial.
Yes, very.
All right.
Commissioner Brady?
Is his name House Cormier?
Cormier.
Cormier? Mm-hmm.
Or Daniel.
Okay, thank you. So, Cormier, when did you start in the gym? As a young person or high school? And you've been a wrestler all your life?
Yes, sir.
Until you got in the UFC, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I started wrestling when I was like 11 or 10. It just was kind of natural for me. It was like the sport. So I went from wrestling till I was 10 until I was 29 years old after my second Olympic team. And then 2008, I retired from wrestling. I wrestled in 2004 and 2008 Olympics.
First up, did you go to college?
Yes, I did, sir.
Did you wrestle in college?
Yes, sir. I went to Oklahoma State University. I was a three-time All-American, NCAA finalist. When I was 15 years old, I was on the U.S. team for cadets. I got third place in the world championships. That was my first time wrestling internationally.
What do you mean for cadets?
They have age groups, cadets,
oh, okay.
Juniors, espoirs.
All right.
When I was 15 or 16 years old, I wrestled in Hungary. I got third place for the country. I was actually viewed as one of the future Olympians, and then I ended up making the 2004 and 2008 Olympic team. I was second in the NCAA tournament at Oklahoma State University.
Okay, great. And during your history, during that, through your youth, college, there's intensity and mm-hmm. things there, too. And fighting, I guess it sounds like you had fought other places even in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they don't have face-offs, do they?
No, sir. No.
You just go and you get down, you start fighting. You probably met some people you didn't... that you felt different things about. Had you ever had a fight or go out after somebody that beat you, and did you fight outside the gym because you this sort of thing, or fight in the ring or anything like that, getting fights?
Yes, sir, I did actually.
Actually, you did?
I did, yes, sir.
You answered the question wrong.
You were trying to get me out of it, but I mean, I have to tell the truth or I'm going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Once I, 2003 World Championships, I kind of got into a shoving altercation with a guy from Iran, which probably wasn't the best timing. But and then in 2005, I think, this one guy jammed me in the eye, so I pushed him back. So
okay.
Twice I've had incidents.
I've watched that
video numerous times. We talk with all of us as human beings. We often say, could you please step back? Mm-hmm. And they may be 2 feet away, but we term a spacer called my space.
Mm-hmm. Personal.
And so people invade your space. You want them to back up or you back up. In this instance, though, this is what you get paid to do, is come in close contact for photo ops and effect and this sort of thing. It set you off. See, it seemed to me, have you ever had anybody put their forehead net down onto your head like that?
Sir, the last time someone tried to get that close to me was I fought a gentleman named Bigfoot Silva in 2011. Oh, yeah. And he's big, and he got really close to me, and it really did affect me. Like, I didn't do him anything, but when I went back into the back, my coach had to come up to me and tell me to calm down because I was visibly shaking. Like, it really does affect me when I feel like someone's trying to I don't like to really use the word bully because it gets thrown around so recklessly, but it feels like when someone's trying to kind of stand over me and intimidate, it visibly affects me. And that's probably the last time. At a stare down, that's the only time it's ever happened. Every other time, we're usually pretty respectful of each other.
He rested. You felt his contact then on your forehead and face.
So I actually...
You pushed him back. That
yes,
was
sir.
A spontaneous response.
Yes, sir.
From my reviewing of the video, is that what happened next? Did he throw a punch?
Yes, he did.
He did. Did you respond with a punch?
No, I was backing up, and he tried to punch me.
Uh-huh.
And then it's kind of, you know, at that point, it was a street fight. Kind of a fun, not funny, but something happened where I tried to grab his legs. I mean, I'm a wrestler. That's what we do. But I ended up grabbing the security guy, and we fell. Yeah. I thought it was him. I guess my eyes was closed or something because... We
felt. You realize that people could have been injured there?
Yes, sir, I do. And the security guy from the UFC was the person that I fell on top of. And he ended up having to seek some attention medically. And John and I both reached out to him. We tried to actually help him with anything we could.
Okay, so you never threw a punch then?
No, whenever he jumped on me on the ground, I was actually holding his head, trying to hold him close. And then once he got away, he was able to actually stand up and try.
Yeah, okay, because I was my reviewing. Some of it's off the screen, but I didn't see you throw a punch anywhere.
No, I pushed him. I did push him. So
yeah, I saw that. Okay,
that wasn't that was my fault in it.
How much approximately are you getting paid for this fight?
$90,000.
$90,000
for the next one. Yes.
Is there a bonus opportunity on top?
Yes, if I win.
If I win,
I get $90,000, but my base purse is $90,000.
It's $90,000, okay.
There's no additional promotional pay on
no,
that 90 days?
No, I could potentially get an undisclosed amount afterwards, but that's kind of at their discretion.
Okay.
That's all my question.
Commissioner Marneau?
I have a hard time with the self-defense argument, and I'm going to tell you why. Self-defense to me means you have no other alternative. It means your back's in the corner. I almost look like it, like what you would learn in a CCW class, you know? You can't really use that force unless there's another option. I do agree that I did see he was the aggressor in that. What would have been another thing you could have done?
I could have backed up. I could have literally just took a step back.
That's all I want to make sure that you recognize that.
I could have taken a step back. It would have caused me a lot less grief. It would have caused the UFC a lot less grief. It would have caused everyone involved. You know, I could be at practice right now if I would have just taken a step back.
Okay. So is that what we should expect from you when you actually do fight him? Is that you're going to keep him close like that to keep those big arms from swinging around? Is that the strategy?
When we fight?
What you showed there, keep it. I'm making a
wait.
Joke.
Are you asking
I'm
me?
To make
are you?
Smile a little bit.
No, I know. Are you asking me about my fight strategy? Because I'll tell you.
I don't. I don't want to know.
I'm just gonna go across the cage and take him down.
All right. Good. Okay. Well, I don't have any other questions. I think they've been asked. So,
my concern is obviously there's been a history of, as my fellow commissioner here gave me a good word because my vocabulary is not very good. Control and discipline. We are going to have future events that are going to be under our jurisdiction, the weigh-in, the actual fight night. How are we assured that you're going to maintain that control and discipline in those types of events with the same opponent?
You know, I think we all learn from things. You know, I've, as I said to Commissioner Brady, in the wrestling thing, I actually got into it with the Iranian guy, and then we just kind of went off on our own, you know, and, you know, I'm here today, you know, and having the answer for my actions. You know, you learn from these things. I really didn't, like, for me, it's like I value different things, you know, and I think that's why, you know, John and I actually don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. I get happy when I win a fight. I enjoy winning. I enjoy getting paid. But I'm happy when I see my son take his first wrestling class and he does well. Or these other kids actually win a state championship and their parents crying. Like, that's value to me. So to lose, I lost my best kid. Like, I had a kid that was an All-American and a two-time state champion, and they walked away because you can't really, you know, that's my value. That's what I see, and I can't deal with that anymore. I don't like people being disappointed in me. It sucks.
Mr. Eccles, do you have any further comments?
Well, just briefly, I wanted to reference that Fox Sports interview. This brawl at the MGM was on August 4th. There was a Fox Sports interview, and I would just ask Mr. Cormier a few questions about it. Do you recall that interview on August 6th? It was with Brian Stann and Kenny Florian.
UFC Tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall being asked by the interviewer whether or not this altercation with you and Mr. Jones was good for promoting the fight?
I do.
Do you recall your answer to that question?
I think so.
Can you tell me what you think your answer was?
I think I might have said, you know, it made more people excited about the fight.
Do you recall saying that it was good for your paycheck?
Yes, I did, okay. Actually. I did, honestly. I'm not going to sit here and lie. Because I'd probably get more money if we sold more pay-per-views, but I don't really know.
Thank you. I don't have further questions, and basically that ties me into my closing. There has to be some kind of penalty to deter this activity, and if it's just good for the paycheck, then it could happen again, and we obviously don't want this to happen again. It's bad for everybody involved.
Sure. But that wasn't going through your head at the time.
No, not at all.
This is just something you're very open with your remarks, so you say that, it might help, but that wasn't your intent at the time of this happening. You're not planning for the next time there's a face-off to shove somebody to fight.
So when we met that morning, and this is why I said maybe the crowd and everything kind of played a part, because when we met that morning, John and I, we both walked into the back of the MGM Grand together. And he walked up, and I introduced him to my fiance. And he's very cordial, and it was fine. We shook hands. It was fine. So I didn't anticipate that type of stare down. I thought we were okay. So even though we had history, I was like, okay, well, now we get to fight. It doesn't matter all the words that we said before. It doesn't matter how we felt about each other before. So I didn't really anticipate that type of stare down. So when it happened, it did kind of take me by surprise. But no, I was not thinking that. And for the record, I co-host that show a lot of times. So it's like when I'm doing an interview as an athlete, it's almost like I'm just talking to my friends. It's things that we would say inside the green room. Like, well, you know, it was bad. We shouldn't have fought, but I'm probably going to get some extra money. That's the degree to which I was kind of saying that. And if, you know, obviously when you're in this type of situation, you can't say anything like that because that's all recorded. But once again, this is where John Jones has taken me in terms of spotlight.
On that comment, is what you're telling us today what you truly believe, or is this what you're being told to say?
No. I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not saying that it was what I was told to say. I'm saying, like, if you and I are good friends and we host a TV show together every week, you may say things that you might not say in public. I said it on an interview, not realizing that we weren't just sitting in the avocado room. We're on national television. So it was just, I host that show with those guys at times. So I think that's kind of the mistake I made, talking to friends. Like, with me, it's like what you get. Like, what you see is what you get. I'm honest. And sometimes to a fault, but in that moment, I felt like I was talking to two of my friends.
Are there any other questions from commissioners? If not, I'm going to allow them the last opportunity to make any statements.
Yes, thank you. Just very briefly, from the discussion of the penalties and discipline in connection with the deliberations on Mr. Jones, I note that it was significant and there was a question asked about the nature of his purse. So I think that one thing that as part of your deliberations, although it is my legal position that this was a matter of self-defense, there was an offensive touching allowed him to remove that from contact with him, and he stepped back. He didn't taunt Mr. Jones. He just simply pushed him off him, stepped back, at which point Mr. Jones threw down the belt and started throwing punches. So we have to look at, one, the disparity in the incomes and the purses in consideration and in discipline. We also have to look at the very, very great disparity between the culpability for us all being here. And Mr. Jones, because of the video, came in and admitted the allegations that Mr. Eccles had made in the complaint, which included him being the aggressor. And he was actually the aggressor twice. Once when he came in and brought contact with the head, the second time after he also, as you pointed out, he could have stepped back at that point and defused the situation. He didn't do so either. He then chose to escalate it. So when you are weighing what sort of discipline, if any, to impose on my client, I think you have to take into account those great disparities. Thank you.
Okay. We'll now enter deliberations where we'll converse amongst ourselves as a commission, and then we'll come out with a motion. So, thank you.
I would move that we find that liability has been found against Mr. Cormier, and that the penalty for the liability that has been established is a requirement that he pay the $9,000 as a fine. That $9,000 would need to be payable at the time of his next fight within this jurisdiction. That he be required to perform 20 hours of community service, and that community service would be in his own hometown. That we need to have a log of that performance of community service with verification then by the agency for which that he would be performing it. That the task that he would undertake then during that community service is trying to send a message, whether it be to other participants or children, of an anti-bullying message, and that all of this is reported to us as a condition of his next license to fight.
I second that.
It's been a motion, as stated by Commissioner Lundvall, with a second by Commissioner...
the gray-haired guy.
I was going to call Commissioner Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Morgan.
That's fine. It's actually Mr. Anthony, young and old.
As long as you get one of them, right?
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
So literally for a senior moment.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thanks, sir.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
We'll now move.
Good luck.
Thank you guys so much.
Good luck with your kids.
I'm like, that's not it.
Síguenos en Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube y visita nuestra página oficial www.autoridadmma.com.